how everyone's voices sound really clean when they speak like they just brushed their teeth. It makes me feel special as a listener that they consider the sensitivity of my inner listening ear. I hate it when hosts have overactive saliva glands, and then I have to listen to this spittle crackle through my iPod headphones. Or when they eat when they're podcasting, and then I can hear the food morsels they're consuming. I'm like, dude, put down that pizza for another time that you're not recording. So thank you, Game of Thrones, for putting down the pizza.
Thank you, Zach, for removing the pizza.
Yes, yes.
In post-production.
You forced our hands and removed the pizza from our mouth.
Oh, it's a hard job, but someone's got to do it.
Was that your Septim Ordained voice?
Oh, that was Batman, everybody.
Oh, that was Batman. It was Batman.
Are we starting the episode like that? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, we're putting down the pizza. This is Game of Owns.
Oh, shit. Okay.
It's Friday. We're talking about pizza and
getting
food
down.
All that Friday stuff. Friday, I want to have a pizza on a Friday.
We're watching Friday starring Ice Cube.
You have room for that after Thanksgiving?
Oh, maybe not. Maybe not.
Happy
Black
Thanksgiving,
Friday.
Thanksgiving, guys. Oh my god.
Right, yeah. Oh, no kidding. Yeah. That's exciting. I'm currently feasting on an imaginary pumpkin pie cheesecake. Vegan,
that's
of course. Come on.
Good.
Vegan pumpkin pie cheesecake?
Hey, it exists. Shut up.
Does it really?
It does, yeah. Wow. I'm eating it right now.
It's not real cheese, man.
There's not real cheese in cheesecake, Eric. So no, it's not. Oh, Game of Thrones, everybody. It's a podcast. Sometimes I say that every week.
My mind is blown.
I'm Micah Tannenbaum, everybody. Well, it's nice to hear from you. The storm was a bitch, but I'm back, and I'm proud.
I'm also Micah Tannenbaum.
Are you really?
Yep.
It's good to see you.
No,
how
thanks.
Are you doing in Sweden, Micah?
I am good in Sweden. I am Micah Tannenbaum.
Yeah.
Welcome to Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Mike is here. It's good to know that Mike is here. I mean, I'm here. It's good to know that we're all here. On Friday.
I know, I'm glad to be back. Yeah. I missed you guys.
We missed you too. You remember that thing we were talking about last night? The whole thing with the thing? Remember that?
I do.
Yeah. Let's not hope that thing happens again.
No.
Yeah. Cool. Yep. I'll make sure you get that at some point. Oh, Mike is here. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Like Eric said, it's Friday and we're getting down because it's time to bring Game of Thrones to you once again. It's a podcast that we all make together in our bedroom.
Yes, we share. We have bunk beds.
We do. And
four of them.
Are they four stacked or is it
two stacked?
Bunk beds. Come on.
Okay. Well, who's the middlest ones?
I don't know, but I want the top bunk.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
Yeah, she's the lightest.
I claimed it.
Okay. Do you wet the bed? Because if you wet the bed, you can't be on the top bunk.
I'm trying to contain myself.
Eric, I heard it. That's why Eric said last night, he was like, guys, it's raining. And it tastes like piss.
Well, he was in the bottom bank, so that could have been any of us.
Okay.
Well, this is disgusting.
It is.
This is so fitting of Game of Thrones.
It is.
This is almost as gross as all the stuff that the Targaryens did with their brothers and sisters.
Right.
Well, listen, they started off an episode with the horse shitting, so I think we're all right, you know?
Yeah, we had D.B. Benioff and Weiss, you know.
Learn from the best.
They do. I actually watched Troy recently and learned that Benioff actually wrote that as well. So,
really?
Nice work.
Troy being the one film you've discovered that Sean Bean does not die in?
Yes, for all the listeners out there, Sean Bean does not die. Yet,
Troy
is a hero.
Beautiful film.
It is beautiful. I'm really
amazing.
Just talking about Bradley Pitt.
I love... Oh, no. Come on. We've got Sean Bean and we've got Orlando Bloom. Who even notices Bradley
Orlando
Bradley
Bloom plays Paris, the biggest shithead of all time.
Oh, but he is so handsome.
You're kidding me. You've got to be.
I'm not kidding you.
I mean, if looks were just looks, if you're going to be that shallow, Selena...
I am going to be that shallow.
Okay, fine.
Just right now.
You guys know about Ask a Ninja, the YouTube / podcast sensation?
Ask a Ninja, yeah.
During the Pirates of the Caribbean review, which was a long time ago, he describes Keira Knightley as a slightly more manly version of Orlando Bloom.
Nice.
Yeah, okay.
That is the shit.
Which shows how... not manly Orlando Bloom is. So I don't think very
highly
of him.
Anyway, the chapter that we're reading this week, if I could share with you a little ditty from that. Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
We're ready.
It was clear how sometimes a child's innocent eyes can see the things that grown men are blind to. Ned is reeling as much as Ned can, who shows very little emotion. He's reeling from the things that he learned from the mouths of his babes last week when they were fighting. And he knows that their innocent eyes saw what he was blind to, which was Joffrey not being the real prince of Westeros.
Exactly.
Yes.
I mean, Sansa was going on and on about her children were going to have lovely golden hair just like Joffrey. And Joffrey's nothing like that drunken King Robert. And then bang, clicked. Oops, Robert has dark brown hair. And that is a dominant trait. And
seed
is
strong.
Yeah, that's we can just figure it out from just one line.
It's so funny. I mean, really, we've already talked about this whenever we brought on that genetics discussion, whenever that was. But it's so funny that really, I mean, we know that Jaime and Cersei are doing their thing. But, I mean, really, the only thing that Ned is basing this on is the fact that Joffrey doesn't have dark hair.
Well, she admits it soon enough.
Really.
I mean, when he confronts
Cersei. Well,
she does,
but I still, you know, it's funny.
I think it makes sense. It's just all the detective work that Ned's been doing. He, you know, that kind of a reveal, all the pieces kind of fall together. It's not so much that that's his only evidence, even though it is, but like all the circumstances surrounding what happened, all the secrecy and the fact that the Lannisters would be behind it potentially, like that would be motive. You know, that you couldn't really figure out a motive until that moment when you're like, oh, what if Jon Arryn found out and they need to protect that secret? Because it would obviously turn a few heads.
So Ned has, I mean, this is chronologically, this is these chapters that we've done this week are all pretty close together. Mm-hmm. You don't have like the time travel bit that most of these have.
No.
And Ned is.
Or space travel.
Right. Or space travel, if you will. Mm-hmm. But Ned is just hanging out and he's dealing with his painful, painful existence of a leg.
Pain gift from God. Lord Edda.
I'm not going to do Asian.
Pain gift from God, Dr. Jones. Short round.
So now somebody needs to say Grandmeister Pycelle told him.
Grandmeister Pycelle told him.
It mean born in knitting. The flesh heal itself. Be thankful.
I will be thankful when my leg stops throbbing.
Go ahead.
Pycelle set a stoppered flask on the table by the bed.
The milk of poppy for when pain grow too onerous.
I sleep too much already.
Sleep is great healer.
I had hoped that was you.
This is my disapproving
sarcasm.
Voice.
I do. I sense a little bit of sarcasm, guys. I think, Selena, we got a little bit of Nedward from the throne room. He's carrying over that dry sense of humor.
And Pycelle did a little smile there. He was happy with Ned for like the first time.
He smiled wanly.
Wanly. I think Judd Apatow co-wrote this chapter as well as the other one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's true. He's like, I had hoped that was you. I hope you're the great healer. Guys, Ned's in pain, you know? It's not okay what happened to him. That damn horse is going to pay. They're saving it for Bronn.
No, not the horse.
They're saving it for Bronn, the horse flesh. He loves it.
Delicious.
Horse flesh.
Duck wings, duck woods.
Darkwing Duck brought Ned a little letter. Pycelle handed it to him because Ned
doesn't
really want to walk
that
around.
That is a badass reference. Yeah. I love it.
Love that reference. Yeah.
So what happened is Tywin's gotten wind of the order that Ned sent out that we all think was perfectly fine and that he should have maybe even made it a stronger order. Curly fries, and he's mad. He's angry that Ned did this, and so Tywin meant to show his displeasure with the Hand of the King.
Indeed.
I think in this chapter, too, we start to learn that, at least it's discernible to me, that other people are aware. Ned seems to think that, how could nobody else notice this? But I think, just by the conversation that he has with Baelish, we know Varys is always in the know. The question then becomes, though, why is it that nobody else has brought this to light?
Right.
Right.
Well, because it benefits them. I don't think that, like, because they're chummy with the Lannisters, and who knows what Varys is planning in the background. I mean, they're not going to cause a fuss, because whoever outs them is going to, it's going to completely stir up everything. It's going to throw everything to the shit place that we've seen
the
it
shit
go.
Place. It's all gonna go there, right to the shit place.
It's gonna go to the shit place. That is, you know, that where we find ourselves in season two. So, it's I see why they're not saying anything.
They're like every other person, though, in the world. When you think about it, people are just like, all right, I'm gonna hold my tongue. I mean, I guess if you kind of think about it, in modern times, honor is kind of dead. at least the people that think like Ned. And R.R. Martin does a really good job of illustrating that here. And then the chapters to come, because we know what indefinitely happens to Ned using his honor system. And it's kind of spelled out for us a little blood-like, a little bloodily, if you will. And they're all still alive and they're all still doing well. They're all still rich and they all still live in like the sweetest homes in the kingdom, where they always have pie to steal. You know, they always have really good shit. And those creature comforts, at least in this time that they're telling about, is really the most important stuff in people's life. They're not really at the point where they want to buy iPods or they want to buy, you know, like a new TV show on iTunes. Just being comfortable and having good food is pretty much all they want. So this is all they care about. So of course they're not going to screw it up.
The other thing is, you know, maybe they're wiser than Ned in the fact that they're not going to go straight up to Cersei Lannister and be like, dude, I know you're banging your brother. Like, to reveal themselves, like, knowledge is power, to quote Baelish.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, if you did know something like that, then you have dirt on the queen or whatever, but just keep that to yourself for a little while. Don't walk straight over to her and be like, I know something you know that nobody else knows. Which I think is Ned's tragic misstep.
Exactly. Sadly, Ned does have that duty to Robert, you know, to Bran and everything that he was talking about in this chapter to get the truth out, because that's just the kind of man that he is. And sadly, I think that's not the kind of man that is going to survive in this kind of environment.
Ned thinks to himself, shattered legs may heal in time, but some betrayals fester and poison the soul.
Oh, I was so hoping that would be a rhyme.
He's not okay with this. And I mean, obviously we know that he's not okay with anything that's happening, but I just thought, you know, when Littlefinger comes in and there's that bit where he's like, I think I'm just going to tell Littlefinger everything. Because, I mean, in this chapter, we're so much inside of Ned's head. It's a lot of it isn't very dialogue-driven. A lot of it is inside of his head. And there's some really, really deep thoughts. And I would say this chapter is the one that we really discover Ned coming to terms with everything that's happening and then what he has to do.
Mm-hmm. And well, it's nice we get to spend some time inside Ned's head, because soon we can't.
Right. Soon Ned's head will be separate from his body.
Hanging out somewhere else, beside George Bush's head, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, right. Allegedly.
Allegedly, excuse me.
You can almost tell that Baelish knows, right? There's that scene as he's walking out, he looks at the book and he has a conversation with Ned about John Arryn. And I really like, though, how Ned, like you're saying, you get inside his head and he's just so tactical. He's breaking down, well, should I tell Baelish? Should I tell Varys? Grandmaster Pycelle, he's in the Lannister's pockets. And then he thinks about Sir Barristan the Bold, and he said, well, Sir Barristan probably would just do his duty, you know. So he really has nobody to trust. There's nowhere he can go to receive any sort of counsel.
You know what we need, guys, on this show really badly? We need appendums to our names. Barristan the Bold, like Selena the Blank, Eric the Blank, Micah the Blank, Zach the Blank.
We do.
That would be cool.
Oh my God.
Eric the Greyjoy.
Is that a listener challenge?
Listener challenge just born out of thin air within the show. Guys, send us your tweets and all the other ways to send us stuff that you definitely know by now, especially if you've listened to the entire repertoire of the whole show in one day. You probably have an idea.
I mean, considering Eric's epic love for Theon, I was thinking Eric the Fishwife might not be...
The Fishwife?
The Fishwife. Wow.
Selena, you just think of what... Figure out what name I come up with. Just wait. Just wait for you.
You're welcome to retaliate.
Competition is steep, guys, so send them in and we'll read them off next week.
Fishwife.
So it's one of those days.
Show you a fishwife.
Yeah, you will. So you know, it's true, but I feel like it's very clear what Littlefinger was thinking, and then it became even clearer when he was saying, as he left the room to Ned, when he saw the book, he took one look at the book, and then he looked at Ned, and he just said, it is known.
Good old Ned, he's really contemplating what he should do at this moment, and true to form, he thinks about the children, and what is going to potentially happen to them as a result of this news coming out. And his instinct is to make sure that they're safe. So he decides that he's going to set up a meeting with Cersei Lannister, who comes in her hoodie, to the Godswood. And you know, there's that flashback where he's thinking about what happened to Rhaegar's children and how they were brutally murdered. And he can't live with the idea that because of him revealing this information, that Joffrey and Tommen and Marcella could suffer the same fate at the hands of Robert.
He's a classy guy. I mean, honestly.
He is. Classy Ned.
Classy Ned. Ned the Classy. That's what they call him. In Winterfell. Yeah. Only his friends, though. He really thinks that that Cersei's hot when she comes in, you know?
Yeah, he touches her cheek.
Right? Well, he touches her cheek. That was a gesture of manliness. Mm-hmm. But when she walks in, he's like, he's having an inner dialogue with himself. And he says, he's like, you know, I usually don't see it because we're usually yelling at each other or something. But she looks really beautiful. I can tell how people think she's really beautiful. She looks great right now.
She was described as like an elven princess or something in
right.
the scene.
Right. Like she's slinked over.
And like
was...
they're sitting in Rivendell.
Oh boy.
Yeah, this entrance does bear reminiscence to like Arwen.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well.
Yeah, but Arwen, was she supposed to be as hot as this though, honestly?
Hell yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. So Arwen's a badass. She's a sword princess and she's good at stuff. Mm-hmm. And Cersei has her looks and she comes over to Ned and basically Ned starts breaking down everything to her. Now, at this point, I was surprised because I'm thinking to myself, Ned, I realize that you're really honorable and stuff, but you're telling her in your condition.
Yeah, that was stupid.
You're telling her everything and she's just going to go tell everyone else everything, but it's not going to be what you told her. It's going to be what she wants people to hear in order to lead to your credibility being taken away.
But here, here's
that
an amount,
was ridiculous.
Here's what Ned's honor amounts to. It's essentially summed up by the first words that they speak to each other, which is Cersei says, "Why here?" And Ned replies, "So the gods can see."
Yep.
You know, like it's just even no matter what happens to him on this earth, the fact is that the gods saw Ned, unclothing her. Disrobing her from her, you know, showing to light her sin, essentially. So, and that kind of, that's important to Ned. That's, you know, the fact that they're meeting in the Kingswood, in the Godswood to do this, is symbolic to him. And it's important.
Is that why you called me here, Lord Stark, to pose me riddles? Or is it your intent to seize me as your wife seized my brother?
If you truly believed that, you would never have come.
Ned touched her cheek. Gently.
Has he done this before?
Once or twice.
She shied away from his hand.
Never on the face before. Jaime would have killed him, even if it meant his own life.
Cersei looked at him defiantly.
My brother is worth 100 of your friend.
Your brother or your lover?
Oh.
Both.
Wow, chicka bow wow.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Brown chicken, boom. Brown cow.
Oh, yeah.
It's peanut butter jelly time.
She did not flinch from the truth.
We were children together. That's so gross. And why not? Should I keep going?
Yes.
No?
That's what Jamie said.
No, but I think she's just going to pick up the pace with the being defensive.
Okay, so since we were children together, and why not? The Targaryens wed brothers and sister for 300 years to keep the bloodlines pure. And Jaime and I are more than brother and sister. We are one person in two bodies. We shared a womb together. He came into this world holding my foot.
My feet.
Our old maester said. He has a foot fetish. When he is in me, I feel whole.
Whole.
Oh, beautiful love story, isn't it?
It's so gorgeous when you put it that way.
Yes.
But Ned is like, fuck that shit, my son Bran. Fuck that shit, my son Bran.
To her credit, Cersei did not look away.
He saw us. You love your children, do you not?
Robert had asked him the very same question. The morning of the melee, Super Smash Brothers. He gave her the same answer.
With all my heart.
All right, this is painful.
Okay, this is
so basically...
We can keep going.
Here's a good character moment. Ned thought, if it came to that, the life of some child I did not know against Rob and Sansa and Arya and Bronn and Rickon, what would I do? Even more so, what would Catelyn do if it were Jon's life against the children of her body? He did not know. He prayed he never would.
Like, she would kill Jon so easily.
Oh, she would have killed Jon. She terrible. Would. She as good as killed him by not loving him.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we find out inside of Ned's head that, I mean, and this was the first time I figured it out. Maybe I wasn't smart enough, but when John Aaron said at his deathbed, "The seed is strong," I think we all thought he was referring to his own son and how he came out so nice and strong. And then he didn't. And so I was confused. John Aaron, is the milk of the poppy getting to you just a little bit? And so here we find out what he means is the seed is strong in the Baratheons. If you go back generations or as far back as he could thumb through in this book, they were all dark of hair.
I still don't get it. I still think seed, I think the way it's worded is still a little too cryptic or vague. It's kind of like I open at the close. I really still don't get that. Like the phrase, it just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't fit as evenly into the where it should that I think it should.
Okay.
You know, the seed is strong.
No, that was like the close of the book.
I open at the close. Like what? It just opens at the end of the, at the close of the story?
Yeah, at the book.
Like why did it opens at the end of the book? Way to break the fourth wall, yeah. J.K. Rowling. I mean, Harry just says, I'm ready to die.
Muggle
what does
cast.
That have
Come
to
on,
do
guys.
With the closing? Okay, so the seed is strong. That's just not... those aren't last words. That doesn't make sense to anybody.
Especially considering, I mean, the thing with John Aaron is that he clearly was trying to be a bit more tactical about all of this than Ned. But considering that he was like on the brink of dying, wouldn't he have just said, look, this is not your kid, like instead of going all cryptic on him? Like that wasn't necessary. But I guess then we wouldn't have a story.
Well, but if he did that, then his whole household would be in trouble. You know what I mean?
I guess so.
I mean, there's a risk of it. Okay, if I died, if I was dying, what I would say, I would finally tell everybody the location of my buried treasure. Like, that's what I would do. But instead, he decided to make a story, which eventually turned into Game of Thrones. So, which probably has made more than my buried treasure is.
What's your buried treasure?
It's an old classic Smith Corona typewriter, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I buried it when I was 8 years old.
Was it working when you buried it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So John Aaron just got one of those and typed it up.
Yeah, exactly. So typed up the will.
Begs the question, though, who found out that John Aaron knew and who ultimately is responsible for his death? I mean, we get hints that Grandmaster Pycelle could have played a role in it.
You know the answer to this question, you son of a bitch.
I do know the answer to the question.
Bitch. You're hiding
so well. So does Selena.
You bastard. Mm-hmm.
But it begs the question, you know, is there somebody out there that stands to gain from his death just like they would from Ned's death? And I know the obvious answer is Cersei, but is there anybody else? I mean, who do you think at the end of the day is responsible for doing the deed?
Jaime was. He did the deed.
I know who it is.
I think because you're asking this question, Micah, you probably know it, and it's somebody we wouldn't expect. It's like
Sir Davos.
Sirio or...
I was surprised.
Yeah, Davos or maybe Theon. But
it's definitely Theon. It's definitely
Theon. It's Theon.
Yeah.
You got it.
Between his reps in the gym, he decided to make a plot to ruin the king.
But we really get a deep insight, I think, here into Cersei's character, right? So we see it during the show when there's that moment between Robert and Cersei and they're talking to each other. But here you get it really between her and Ned. And you can tell that she's hurt. I mean, her wedding night, Robert crawls on top of her and calls her Lyanna. Mm-hmm. And we learn even more so that basically there was one time that Cersei had a kid by Robert, but Jaime helped her get rid of it. And that basically Robert's been so drunk all these years that anytime there's been something about to happen, she finds other ways to please him. At least that's what she says in the book. So,
right. I mean, he's drunk anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
She was like, he forgets it the next morning, so whatever.
Gotta feel bad for her, even though she's a bitch.
Oh, absolutely. I feel bad for her big time. I really, beyond how terrible she is, I mean, do you really think that she went into the marriage and everything?
No.
Being so poisonous?
No.
No, she's definitely...
We've seen that from her before, that she had... idea, you know, about how great it was going to be to marry this amazing, you know, Gendry-looking prince, and what she ended up with, it is enough to drive anyone bitter.
But, I mean, if that Lyanna moment never happened, would she have had some Baratheons, and, you know, you'd have kids with dark hair, kids
absolutely.
With light
hair.
That
would have given it away. Maybe. She couldn't have one kid with brown hair, otherwise it'd be like...
No, but I mean, then she popped out one with blonde hair, wouldn't have been that surprising, because... She's got blonde hair, and I don't think anything would have been thought of it.
That would have been confusing, though, because, like, what would Jamie have done? Would he have been happy with that? Like, that's just in the sense of a whole new bunch of questions.
I think that he would have probably stayed as a secret lover, as those people in power in this story have. But if she would have stayed in love with Robert, I think that she would have been like, but I love him. He's my husband and shit, and we want to have princes. Because she's like Sansa in that respect when they first got married.
Right.
Mm. Yep. So we get to this awkward moment where Cersei tries to use her looks to
and her soft touch.
That is awkward.
And her soft touch. And her supple cheekbones.
Yep.
Yes. You know what I must do, he says. She says, must. A true man does what he will, not what he must. Her fingers brushed lightly against his thigh. The gentlest of promises.
And then Ned says, no.
Oh, man.
He shuts her down. We all knew that Ned would shut her down. Ned wouldn't subscribe to that. We all know how much he beats himself up over, air quotes, to John. So, whatever, you know.
Yeah, he won't give in to temptation, not even the queen.
And she knew that. I believe that she knew that, unless she had a lot of confidence in herself.
Oh, still, but he does it so damn well, doesn't he? He shuts her down. She says, be kind to me, Ned. I swear to you, you shall never regret it. He says, did you make the same offer to John Arryn? And she
Smack.
Slaps him.
Smack.
And he says, I shall wear that as a badge of honor.
In her face.
Right
that
in
was
that face.
Awesome.
Yeah. So she goes on and on. I mean, we don't want to obviously have to paraphrase this entire thing, but basically what happens is she threatens him back. And she's like, what about my wrath? And we all saw this in the mm-hmm. in that episode where they have the big breakdown. Actually, that's a lot of you consider that your favorite episode or your favorite part or exchange of lines or exchange of words. Mm-hmm. And then she accuses him of, well, if you wanted power, if you want to make these kinds of decisions, why didn't you just take the throne? You could have just sat down on the throne. Jamie told me about it. He says you just made him get up and leave.
That was your moment. All you needed to do was climb those steps and sit. Such a sad mistake.
I have made more mistakes than you can possibly imagine. But that was not one of them.
Oh.
Oh, but it was, my lord. When you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die. There is no middle ground. Oh my god, that's so good. It's the name of the show.
It's the name of the show, it's the name of the book, it's slightly the name of this show. That's where it is, everyone. It all comes down to that sentence.
The own of owns of all time.
It all comes down to that moment.
I think that's the own of the series so far.
I think it pretty much is.
I'm gonna agree with you,
She served notice and he didn't realize.
So basically, that's the end of the chapter. She pieces out, and Ned's left with his thoughts, and he's got to stagger all the way back.
How big of an idiot is he, though?
Yeah,
I mean,
he does not. Because he doesn't end that situation with the upper hand at all. You know, telling her that he knew her secret really just sealed his fate. You know, put the nail in his own coffin.
It was so stupid, because this was the moment. I mean, we've talked about the moment at the crossroads, literally the end of the crossroads being the crossroads for the series. But this even more so, because Ned has all the information he needs. He has all the information to go to Robert, even though Robert's dying right now, but that he doesn't know that. Or, you know, but then he chooses the quote-unquote honorable paths. He chooses to go to the woman who he knows has done all these horrible things, who's a horrible person. He's like, yeah, I know your secret. Please leave the kingdom now.
Yeah.
And she's like, what do you think is going to happen?
She's like, I generally support his decisions, generally. But right now he's talking to a woman who they have just conversed casually about how she made his son almost die and is now paralyzed for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
A small boy. This is someone who is terrible. And you're literally letting her just walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should have taken out... what's the name of his sword?
Ice.
Ice. He should have just taken ice out. Yeah. Bum, 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 ba-da-dum, bum.
I mean, he should have at least put her in chains and been like, okay, guys, I know
where's
this is the queen.
Where's he going to get chains? Incarcerous.
Exactly.
Bitch, you're floating upside down now.
I think you're thinking of Levy Corpus, just so you know.
Yeah.
No, but Incarcerous binds her. And then.
But that's the thing, though. He has no allies there. That's what it's Look, not a smart decision on
right.
his part, you know.
I know.
All I could think of,
I know.
Yeah,
sorry.
You're right, Micah. Reading this chapter, all I could think of was that scene from season 2 of the TV show where Stannis Baratheon says, you know, my brother made the mistake of, or not my brother, he said, you know, Ned Stark made the mistake of telling only me you know, the whole Queen's secret. I will not make that mistake.
Yep.
You know, he sent the letter to everybody telling them, you know, about that. But that's the thing. Ned is keeping quiet to every single other person. He should be shouting it from King's Landing rooftops right now. And instead he is quiet.
I think he's just so embarrassed. Like, it's like secondhand embarrassment. He cannot believe what Jaime and Cersei have done. And like the fact that there's children of this, I think he's just, it mortifies him. I don't think he could bring himself to shout it.
Well, and there's that honor thing where it's right for the king to be the first informed. King shouldn't have to hear it from a gossiper on a lowly, you know, street from the town, a few towns over. The king should be the first person. You know, Ned wants to counsel Robert on the whole thing and how they should proceed because they're buds. But he doesn't know that Robert's not coming back and that he will never get the opportunity.
He is just looking out for his friend. Like, what if your friend, what if you found out, like, some infidelity? It's like, well, I don't want to go tell everyone else without at least talking about it to my friend.
Yeah.
It's not only honorable, but it's just a friend thing to do. Like, okay, well, I'll try not to go behind your back.
That's true.
Unfortunately, this is not the kind of situation where that really matters, because this is life or death and the rule of a kingdom, which is, for all intents and purposes, you know, like the presidency. So you kind of got to be careful and just do business first, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. So the question now is, what happens next?
Bum, bum, bum.
He wins or he dies.
It's true.
I wonder.
There is no middle ground.
No middle ground.
There is none.
Is this your own of the episode? Is this what this is? You're showing this photo?
No,
it's in
my,
the show notes.
Look, my own of the episode. Shit, I just had it.
It's got to be this picture. Because you posted it in Skype twice.
Yeah, yeah. It's this picture because I discovered that when I accidentally dropped my book while reading this chapter, and I'm like, oh, there's George R. R. Martin.
It fell out like a secret.
The photo from Paris McBride.
This is his girlfriend.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or wife, or something like that. God, don't you keep up with the gossip?
Come on,
what's
Eric.
What's the gossip? What's the lady? She's not his sister, is she?
No.
Oh,
no.
God.
Wow.
That's not.
No.
No, my real own is from Baelish, and he says, I cannot visit long, my lord. Lady Tonda expects me to have lunch with her. No doubt she will roast me a fatted calf. If it's near as fatted as her daughter, I'm likely to rupture and die. And how is your leg? So.
Yeah, that's my own, too.
Being cruel on somebody else's daughter.
Yep, my own, too.
I gotta give it to Ned again. I feel like I have to give him my own while I still can.
Wow.
I shall wear that as a badge of honor. It caught me by such surprise, I actually laughed out loud, which hardly ever happens.
What's funny is,
I loved it.
It's just one of those well-written lines, because I think in the chapter where Cersei said it, we gave her the own, and now Ned says
it,
and you're giving him the own.
That was so brilliant, and then he just throws it back in her face, literally. And it's just, it's so funny, and like, it's like, he said it dryly, and I'm just like, Ned, when did you get so funny?
Yeah. Mine's also from Littlefinger. It's later on in that conversation. That Eric was talking about. So Littlefinger lifted an eyebrow. In the future, try not to let any horses fall on it, referring to his leg. I would urge you to heal quickly. The realm grows restive.
If you guys want to match the brilliance of said previous owns, mine excluded, because mine was not in there, because Eric did take mine. You can do that by sending us a tweet at twitter.com/gameofowns, or even an email if you feel like being secretive and not public about your words to us. It's contact@gameofowns.com. If you have a press inquiry, like the spam ones we get sometimes, don't send it. We'll appreciate it.
Well, speaking of Twitter, though, we do have a couple tweets
to
read before the show closes out today for the week. The first one is from Mary Does Not Tweet. But apparently she does.
I think it's doesn't. You got to use that right there.
Oh, Mary doesn't tweet.
Yeah, come on, man.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
There was no apostrophe. Threw me off.
Okay.
She says, awesome job with the Hodor interview. Podcast keeps getting better and better.
X. She put an X. That means kiss.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
This one's from Even Semi.
Okay.
It says, baking. What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
They say,
sorry.
Baking cookies and listening to Game of Owns. Almost as good as sewing and listening to Game of Owns. That's awesome.
Can I do one?
Selena, wait your fucking turn.
No. Okay. I'll take this one from Unforgiven. Fell asleep listening to Game of Owns and dreamt of Hodor dancing to Gangnam Style. Thanks, Christian, there, and it was amazing.
Oh, but if you listen to
that
interview...
Dream.
you would know that Hodor hates Gangnam Style.
Exactly.
Yes, he refused to play it.
I haven't even listened to it still, and I'm enjoying that.
Man.
No, I won't. I mean...
You have to.
It's not that I won't. It's just that in my natural life, I've literally never heard of it, aside from really vague tweets, and I don't click everything, so...
I'm the same. I only watched it like on a commercial like a while back. Otherwise, I haven't seen it.
Exactly.
So Voldemort did one.
Yeah, you did.
Don't
say his name, by the way.
Yeah. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, but he's not around anymore, so you don't have to worry about that.
He's not with us.
Nope.
So a few days ago, I tweeted, "Winter is coming," from Game of Thrones profile, because I thought that was just so witty. And then a stream of witty replies came from your end. And by your, I mean you, the listener, people, John, Jacob, Jingleheimer, and Schmidt, all of you guys listening.
Hey,
and
their
Helen
name
Mary
is my
Pye
name.
Replied to us. She said, "Winter's been, although it's been a bit chilly today." And you know, I would agree with her, guys. It's been very cold here in Vegas. It's literally cold. And I don't know. It must be like terrible where you guys are, I'm assuming.
Oh, I mean, I'm stuck under like 10 feet of snow over here.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's like, no.
And Eric's dire wolf is speaking up right now.
Yeah, yeah. I know. There. It's,
my dire
wolf
is cold. I need shoes. I need those cute shoes for terriers.
Bark once if you're in Milwaukee.
But it's it's actually, we're having a little bit of a warm spell. And by warm, I mean 50.
Right.
Right now up in Chicago, but during the week it was quite chilly.
On Twitter, Tran Nguyen, one of our favorite people in the entire world, says, "Zach and Eric, you guys have a lovely bromance. Smiley emoticon."
Aww. I agree.
Aww.
It's beautiful.
Our friend Jose from Canada says, "It's below freezing point in Canada. Winter is already here."
Yeah. Well, you live in Canada, so.
Right? When half your continent is, or half your country is Arctic tundra.
Do you guys imagine that Canada is like beyond the wall?
Yeah, it is.
It is beyond the wall. Oh,
thank you.
There's currently no wall keeping Canada out.
And do you think there should be?
Absolutely.
Don't answer that.
Put a wall up. Those people. Yeah.
I do think of Canada as being north of the wall now that I think about it.
No, they don't. They can come. They can come over and visit. It's fine.
Yeah, they'll be like Ygritte and the wildlings.
Let me think. If you want to join the ranks of said people that have tweeted at us, do it with your buttons. Or if you have a touchscreen phone, do it with your thumbs. Or if you have a bigger one, one of those Samsung ones that are way too big for hands and that are coming in and out brown colors, well, that's weird. Just use your four fingers. They all work.
And you can also rate and review us on iTunes. We appreciate your 5-star rating. Nothing else is acceptable. And the sense of threat from earlier on in the week still stands. And
it's pretty terrifying, Micah, actually.
It is. It's scary.
Look, let me tell you something. I don't think any of us would want to sit in a room with... How old is she? 14.
Too old.
14.
Old
enough. 13,
she's old enough.
Right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And have her talk to us about Joffrey for 15 hours. The door's locked. He can't get out.
No.
No
I don't
food,
know.
No drink.
I would change her opinion of Joffrey by introducing myself
she would love
properly
Leon
to her.
By the end of it.
No. I said I'd introduce myself
suggesting
to
her
properly to her.
Girl.
Hey, you know, really? They're older back then. Age is just a number, Selena.
Really?
This is episode 38, and it is just the number. I'm Zach.
You'd be way too old for her. She'd be like, "But Eric is nice, but she's so old."
Yeah, I guess
like
24 in the Game of Thrones universe is 50.
Oh yeah, it's like ancient.
I'm Eric.
Anyway,
and I do not approve this message.
I guess I'm Selena. Welcome.
I'm pretty sure I'm like, I don't know.
That's
goodbye.
Cool. Goodbye.
Something about goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Oh, man, that's perfect.
Goodbye.
Let's go visit Dubai. Goodbye.
Goodbye.